That's wonderful. Amen. That's what church and church services are supposed to do. It's, you know, we need to be challenged. We need to be charged. We need to be exhorted, strengthened. But we do need those challenges, you know, those things that, you know, make us want to be better for the Lord. Amen. To want to be on fire, to want to have the right testimony, to be what the Lord has asked us to be as a church. You know, not just to be satisfied coming to a church, but actually being a church.
Right.
Amen. Being a part of a group of people, a body that's, you know, seeking to win souls, seeking to find lost people and to give them the Word of God. Because that's what they're going to get saved by.
Right.
Too many times, you know, we might invite somebody to church, but we don't give them anything from the Word. And we should give them something from the Word. You know, let them know how good God is. Amen. Let them know, thank God for His Son, Jesus. Amen. And, you know, quote some scriptures. And, you know, talk to them about what thus saith the Lord. Those are the seeds that need to get down in lost people's hearts. And, you know, we just, if we get to the place that we're stale, we're not doing anything, we're just kind of hum-hawing along, then we need spiritual help.
Hey.
Amen. Hey. Any one of us can get in that place.
Sure.
We can get to where we just really don't have no fire about us. We just really don't have no desire about us. It'll kill us spiritually. The Bible says where there's no vision, the people perish. We need a vision. Amen. I mean to really have a vision, for where the church is headed, or what the work that Christ would have us to do. Amen. And not be afraid of that. Not to be afraid of that. Maybe some people that's afraid of the work of God, but that's what God wants us to do. Amen. He told us, go into the highways and the hedges, compel them to come in. Amen. Preach the Word. Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature.
Amen.
And, that's what the Lord wants us to do. He wants us to reach the lost. We are the extension of God's hand here on earth. Amen. I mean, we could just, close off our little knob over here where the church sits and never try to go see anybody or talk to anybody and just live our lives and go on and have some services and that'd be the extent of things. But God help us to want a desire to be, like they said about the early church, these that have turned the world upside down. They've come hither also. People saw in them a fire, saw in them the wind of God blowing. Why? Because everywhere they went from house to house, teaching and preaching. Amen. They ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Amen. They had, you talk about, that's where prayer meetings started. Amen. People going and having prayer meetings in people's homes. And that's the work of the church. To sow the seed. Amen. To plow the fields. That's what God wants us to do. Amen. Well, bless the Lord. Somebody else got something on your heart. 1 Samuel again. And again, I appreciate everybody being here in the Lord's house. And thank God for you. Amen. Thank God for you being here in the house of the Lord this evening. Taking the time to come and be in God's house, to pray with one another, to sing God's songs together, to worship the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
And to hear His word. 1 Samuel chapter number 8, verse number 1. And it came to pass when Samuel was old that he made his sons judges over Israel. Now the name of the firstborn was Joel, and the name of his second, Abiah. They were judges in Beersheba. And his sons walked not in his ways. Is that not a stunner? I mean, that a man of God like Samuel had sons, and they wasn't walking with God like he would, like he does. Of course, listen, Samuel, he was a champion. He was a champion for God. Don't you ever think anything else about Samuel. He was a champion for God, if there ever was one in the Old Testament. And but listen, just because they may not have reached his heights does not mean that they shouldn't have lived for God. They walked not in his ways, but turned aside after lucre, gathered themselves together and came to Samuel unto Ramah and said unto him, Behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. You see, the people of Israel was dissatisfied with the way Samuel's sons were judging them because of the way they were living. And they said, we want a king like the other nations. And that's what I want to preach about this evening, like the other nations. That's one of the saddest statements that you could think that the children of Israel would ever make, is to say, we want to be like other nations. We want to be like other nations. We want to have a king like other nations. I mean, can you imagine, listen now, having God as your king and then not being satisfied with that? Not being satisfied with God Almighty as your king. And, you know, whether the judges at the time were wrong or not, to say we want to be like other nations. I thought about this as I was looking at this today. I mean, for them to say we want a king like other nations. You know what they were saying? Didn't even know it. We want to be like the heathen nations. We want to be like the heathen nations. That's sad. Here they are, God's people, and they want to be like the heathens. Amen. They want to have a king, and they had already proved they weren't satisfied with gods. They wanted other gods. They wanted those groves, those high places set up for gods of the Canaanites and the gods of Egypt and different. That was part of their problem. Not being satisfied with God. Not being satisfied with what God had to offer them. I mean, think about it. He is the one that brought them out of Egypt. He's the one that saved them. He's the one that did mighty works in their midst. He's the one that fed them with the bread of heaven and water out of a rock. And they wasn't satisfied with him. I promise you this, they had never seen no other God give water out of a rock. They had never seen no other God bring bread out of heaven. Amen. Supply their need
Think about what they're asking. We want a king like other nations. We want to be like other nations. And in chapter 8, in verse 1 through 9, Israel demands that they want a king. And verse 10 through 18, Samuel gives them a warning. Look at what Samuel, verse 10, told all the words of the Lord unto the people that ask of him a king. Notice what Samuel did. He told them the words of the Lord about the matter. He didn't say, this is what I think about it. He said, I'm going to tell you the words of the Lord. And verse 11, and he said, this will be the manner of the king that shall reign over you. He will take your sons and appoint them for himself, for his chariots and to be his horsemen, and some shall run before his chariots. And he will appoint him captains over thousands and captains over fifties, and will set them to ear his ground and to reap his harvest and to make his instruments of war and the instruments of his chariots. And look at this, he said, and he will take your daughters to be confectionaries and to be cooks and to be bakers, and he will take your fields and your vineyards and your oliveyards, even the best of them, and give them to his servants. And it just goes on and on. You know what he's saying? God, their king, has give them everything for nothing. And he said, you want a king like the other nations? Well, I'll tell you what this king's going to do. Them boys you've been able to keep at home, he's going to bring them for himself, to make soldiers out of them for his army. And some of them's going to have to run beside his chariots. Can you think about your son having to try to keep up with horses in the hot land of Israel? There he is. He's been appointed by a man that they made king to be a footman. And others to have to drive those chariots. And men that had never done any of that kind of warfare. Are you listening to me? You know why? Because God Almighty was always the one to win their wars for them. Amen. Those men, all they had to do at Jericho was stand around the wall and give a great shout unto the God of heaven. They didn't even have to pick up a stone. God fought their wars. God never, listen, God wasn't the one, and he said he's going to take your fields, he's going to take your goods, he's going to take your daughters, and they're going to bake food for him and food for his captains. In other words, your children are going to be slaves to him. It's not going to be a free, every man blessed under God. You're going to be enslaved to some man who's going to take advantage of you. That's what Samuel warned them of. And so Samuel, he warns them. But in verse 19 through 22, God granted their request. I mean, this is in verse 19, nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel. They said, nay, but we will have a king over us. Telling the man of God, no, God ain't going, surely that ain't the way it's going. We want a king. And I'll tell you, the most destructive kind of life to live is when a man of God says to you, this is what God says about a matter, and this is what's going to happen in your life. And then for you to say, no, that ain't going to happen to me. Give me what I've asked for.
Amen.
That's what they're doing. Give me what I've asked for. Give us a king. So from chapter 9 through the end of chapter number 12, you see Saul is made king. Saul is the chosen in chapter 9, verse 1 through 27. In chapter 10, verse 1 through 16, Samuel anointed him. God said, this is what you want. Samuel anointed him. He's going to be the king. So Samuel anoints him to be the king. And Saul, in verse 17 through 27 of chapter 10, Saul is proclaimed king. And in chapter 11, verse 12 through 15, Saul is confirmed as king. And then in chapter 12, verse 1 through 25, I want you to look at it. I mean, after everything's been said and done, after they begged, said, this is what we want, and they went through the whole proclamation, and Samuel anointed him, and he's been confirmed and proclaimed. In chapter 12, Samuel said unto all Israel, behold, I have hearkened unto your voice and all that you said unto me, and have made a king over you. This is his farewell address. Now listen. They not only, listen, when they said, we want a king like the other nations, they wasn't only saying goodbye to God as king. They were saying goodbye to Samuel the prophet being over them. God, I mean, listen, God's voice box. They had a direct line to the voice of God. I mean, that if they ask anything, Samuel could pray or make sacrifice, however he felt God was leading him, and God would give him an answer and give him the words for Israel to protect them, to help give them victory. Are you listening? To provide for them, whatever that it was, because it was coming. He was God's man. Are you listening? He was hearing the voice of God, but now he said, I've done exactly what you ask, and I've made you a king. I'm out of here. Think about that. Behold, he said, here I am, witness against me before the Lord and before his anointed, whose ox I have taken, or whose ass have I taken, or whom I have defrauded, whom have I oppressed, or whose hand I have received any bribe to blind my eye therewith, and I'll restore you. He said, if I've done anything wrong, if there's been any sin, if I've done anything, you come and you tell me. But the thing was, he didn't. He was God's champion. His boys were doing those things. They were taking bribes. They wanted to, you know, if the people want a little sacrifice, well, you give me a little extra for me to throw that in for you. But you didn't get that out of Samuel. No, again, Samuel was God's champion. He was better to them than this king that they asked for. A man of God. Are you listening to me? A man of God, a true man of God. He was better for them than a king would ever be. And so he gives his farewell address. And then I'll tell you what happens. We see Saul fails as a king. That's exactly what I was preaching about this morning from chapter 13 and chapter 14. Saul, he's in a war against the Philistines, you remember? And you remember how I preached about he was supposed to wait on Samuel, because Samuel was going to come and give him a word. Samuel didn't come on time. He didn't come on the king's time, is what it was. And you know what the king did? He told the people, bring me the sacrifices, I'll do this. He's going to do what Samuel's supposed to do. I'm going to tell you that right there, that's as close, that's almost as close to the abomination of desolation, I believe, amen, that a man could do. Trying to step into the shoes of Samuel and be the man of God to offer up sacrifice to God and to get a spiritual word from God for the people. That wasn't his job. That's Samuel's job. Samuel's job to tell them. And Samuel said, what have you done? I'm telling you what, if they've ever had a king that messed up continually, I mean continually, and Samuel was always having to say, what have you done now? You've not done. He told him when he had stood against the Philistines here at the end of, I mean, when Samuel just completely cuts him off as king, it's because he told him, said, go down there to Amalek and slay Amalek and slay everything that's in Amalek. Everything. But you know what he did? He killed most everything, John. There's some real good sheep. I mean, these are prime sheep. They could be made to sacrifice for the Lord. Put them to the side. And those bullocks, I mean, some of them red heifers. Praise God, I mean, some beautiful ones. Set them aside. Keep that gold and stuff, fellas. Ain't no sense in getting rid of that. We'll put that in the house, the temple of the Lord. And let's keep the king alive. He wasn't supposed to do that. He was supposed to kill everything. And so Samuel comes in. And Samuel says, you have not done that which the Lord said to do. He said, oh no, I've obeyed the Lord. I've obeyed the Lord, Samuel. See, in his mind, he thought he had a warped sense of what obeying the Lord was. That's what this king that they asked for, this is who's leading them. He had a warped sense of what obedience was. Listen, you better be careful thinking, I'm doing exactly. If you better make sure you're doing what God wants you to do. Don't act like it, and then you know that you ain't. I mean, if God gives you this, and this, and you do all of them but the one, don't sin. Hell, I've got a good reason. I was going to talk to the Lord about this. Oh no, friend, that ain't what God asked. If God said, hew it all, slay it all, kill it all, don't let anything live, then that's exactly what the Lord wanted him to do. And he didn't do it. But you know what Samuel did? Samuel took a sword out of his hand and he hewed Agag all to pieces. He said, that's a great verse right there. He said, well, if you have obeyed the Lord, what's that bleating of the sheep and that lowing of the ox that I hear? Mama, I wasn't in the cookie jar. Why was I hearing the rattle of the top of that thing? What's that I hear? If you had done and what you were supposed to do, there wouldn't be no sheep bleating. There wouldn't be a bye-bye nowhere. Not a lowering of the ox. There wouldn't have been a sound of an ox nowhere. If he'd have killed everything,
God did not want Amalek to live. Amalek's a type of the flesh. He has to be slain completely. And you know that, I mean, Israel has had trouble with Amalek constantly. And just like the Philistines, if he had done what God asked him, they wouldn't be fighting the Philistines today. The Palestinians. It's a thorn in their side. All because of the disobedience of the king that they wanted. Don't ask God for something like that. Don't ever ask, say, God, I want something easy or something that I can touch and see. God, I want to have a king like other nations. I want to have it like other people. They seem so happy and so strong and so blessed. I want to have what the others have. Be content with what God has to give you. Saul failed as a king. He's at war with the Philistines. He made the unlawful sacrifice. And listen to this. In the middle of a war, and the king of Israel has left all of his men without a weapon won. Brother Mike, you can read right there in chapter 14, I believe it is. He said that they did not... I'll give it to you. Chapter 13, verse 19. Now there was no smith found throughout all the land of Israel. For the Philistines said, lest the Hebrews make them swords and spears. But all the Israelites went down to the Philistines to sharpen every man his share and his coulter and his axe and his mattock. He says, yet they had a file for the mattocks and for the coulters and for the forks and for the axes and to sharpen the goads. So it came to pass in the day of battle that there was neither sword nor spear found in the hand of any of the people that were with Saul and Jonathan. But with Saul and with Jonathan, his son, was there found. He loved his son enough to make sure he had a sword. But he didn't love the people of Israel enough to make sure they had swords. He's the king. He's supposed to provide. Supposed to be his army. You mean they're going to have to come and fight for him? And he hadn't even provided a single sword or a spear for them. How shameful that is that a leader would ask his people to go to war and not give them what they need to defend themselves. I tell you what, I said it this morning, it's my desire to give you the word so that you have what you need to defend yourself from the enemy that's against us. From all the enemies, you need that. You need that weapon of war. There he was. He was the one responding. I'm convinced he was the king. Our men and women go in the army. From the time they go in, you know what they do? Everything they brought with them, they tell them, you might as well pack that up and send it back to mom. You're going to dress the way we'll provide your BDUs. We'll provide your boots. We'll provide your guns. Amen. We'll provide your scopes.
We'll provide you knives. We'll provide you belts. We'll provide you backpacks. We'll provide your armor. Yep. Them fellows ain't out there trying to make all that stuff so that they can fight the war for Uncle Sam. Uncle Sam gives them everything they need. That's what any one of those kings, I guarantee you, they had men, smiths, and they did. They had all the smiths down in Philistia. We want to have them all down here. We don't want one smith in Israel. You see, among God's people, God help, and I said it this morning, I'll say it again. It's important. What God has called you to do, you've got to do it. Because it may be the only difference. You may be that smith that's needed to make those swords. They didn't have one. But the Philistines did. And boy, they had plenty of swords and plenty of spears and plenty of chariots. But Saul failed as king. Israel didn't have a weapon. Saul disobeyed the Lord in his war with the Philistines and with Amalek. But in chapter 16, here it is, I'm about done. In chapter 16, you see David coming to be the next king. I mean, God has cut Saul off. And you know why? Because Saul's heart wasn't for God and for God's word. He may have said it was, but it wasn't. He was so disobedient. Even his son Jonathan had more love of God in his heart than Saul did. He had faith in his God. Remember what the part I talked to you about this morning? About Jonathan going over there to the garrison with his armor bearer? And even his armor bearer said, "You do all that's in your heart, Jonathan. I'm with you every step of the way." Amen? He knew that Jonathan was a man that loved God and was a man of faith. And him being that armor bearer, that was his example. He was a man of faith. "Jonathan's got me through with God. I've seen God do some mighty things. Jonathan, you do what's in your heart. I'm going to follow you." Boy, we need people like that in the church. When the preacher gets a burden or gets a vision, that those people get under him and get behind him and say, "You do what's in your heart. We're with you." Boy, things can move then. And David comes along. Samuel anoints David in chapter 16, verse 1 through 13. "The Lord said unto Samuel," verse 1, "how long wilt thou mourn for Saul?" See, Samuel really tried to labor with him. If he's going to be king, I want to help him. And when God told Samuel, he's not king anymore, son, Samuel felt like he had failed, I think. What do you think, Brother Brandon? You think the man of God in the land possibly felt like, maybe some of this is on my shoulders, that this man didn't succeed as a king? If I'd have stayed closer to him, or kept that rein tight on him. God said, "How much longer are you going to weep for Saul? I've rejected him
from reigning over Israel. Fill thine horn with oil. What's that? Fill my horn with oil. And go, I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite. For I have provided me a king among his sons. I've got a man that's going to be king. Amen. A man that they wanted a king. They picked out one. And what one they really picked out. Amen. He was a mess. But now God's going to give them a king. I could preach. I mean, I could tell you, I could just go on and preach. The most beloved king in all of Israel is a man after God's own heart. There's a king right there. Listen, I said some of that this morning, you know, about us, our heart, and where our heart is to, as far as going for God and wanting to be a soldier for God. Well, the Bible says you're kings and priests. I don't want to be a Saul king. I want to be a David king. Amen. I don't want to be a king that may be popular with the people, but he's so dissatisfactory in the eyes of God. I want to be like David. A true man full of God has a heart for God. Where Saul... Let me give you this and I'm done. Where Saul had an army of 3,000 that he handpicked, 2,000 that stayed with him, and 1,000 that went with his son Jonathan. And after the Philistines put so much fear in those men of Israel, they had scattered in caves and in rocks, they hid themselves. There was only about 600 of them that they could find. 600 out of 3,000. Trying to defeat an enemy. One man, the king himself, David. Of course, at the time, Saul was still supposedly king in the eyes of everyone. David came down there as a young shepherd, but in the eyes of God, the one that God chose to be the next king. And with one blow, killed the greatest enemy that stood against them. Their champion. Their champion that absolutely paralyzed the armies of Israel. David took a sling and a stone. Right between the eyes. What a king that God made. What a king God had prepared for them. Somebody that's more like God than the other. Saul only took from the people. David, like God, gave to his people. Did some heavy load lifting. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Well, amen. That's the message this evening. Like other nations, surely you don't want to be like other nations. Surely you don't want to be like the world. You don't want to be like other religions. Let God be king.
Amen.
Amen. Let God be king. Y'all stand. I'm done. Pianist, come.